Please turn with me this morning in your Bibles to the Gospel of Mark, the very first chapter, Mark chapter 1. I want to try to continue a series regarding weighing the ways. We have talked about the ways of God and the ways of grace, at least touched a little on the subject. Those are magnificent mountains of God's truth that we need to look up to. The Bible says we look into the hills which cometh our help. And that's two of them. And today I want to talk about the gospel way. The gospel way. And what I mean, the way in the gospel, how much does the gospel weigh? Seems like we don't hear much about the gospel anymore. I'm sure we take it for granted. I don't think we mean to neglect it. But the gospel is good news. That's what we understand it to mean, and it certainly is. It, however, has two sides, like every good story. There's a balance, so how much does it weigh? I mean, the good news of the gospel does not weigh much if we don't have the bad news of our plight without it. God has some scriptures that entice that in one verse. It's not my text, but there's one that I thought of in Romans 6:23, where the Bible says, the wages of sin is death, but the goodness of God is in Christ Jesus our Lord, or the gift of God is eternal life, rather, through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's a good balance, and that's the good news of the gospel. And I wanted to talk about it this morning because Jesus talked about it, and he is our example. Not only is our Savior, he is our example of how we need to live in this life. And the gospel, too, I want to go ahead and say this, is not just for unbelievers. And I think that's where we miss the mark of weighing the gospel in our life. The gospel is for believers. The gospel is a very personal message from God that I believe we got to preach to ourselves every day. Brother Todd mentioned to the children and reminded us, we sin every day. So if you don't have the gospel and you don't preach to yourself every day, you know, the psalmist David said that in fact. He said one time, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God. What is he doing? He's talking to himself. You ever talk to yourself? That's a good thing. When spiritually speaking, we need to know what the gospel is about, and we need to always know, we need to keep it very fresh on our hearts and minds because this life is difficult. Living in this world is hard. I don't have to tell you this. You're probably going through some things right now. You just don't know how you're going to get through it. And if you don't have any problems, you probably should get ready because you're going to have some. That's how life is, okay? But nevertheless, even if things are just hunky-dory and we're doing everything just right, probably most of us live in an overstressed kind of life. I think there's a disquietedness in us that we don't like to admit. And I think it's the culture that we live in, the world that we're living in. But I think it also has a part to do with our humanness, that we still have to deal with our flesh and the doubts and fears that we have to deal with. But what I'm here today is to manifest or come from God and help us all be encouraged with the gospel. I need this just as much as you do. And I pray God would use it to help our lives as we embark in this sea of life, in the ship that God has given us. Those storms are there, that he keeps us safe and his grace maintains us and sustains us. The verses of scripture I wanted to use for a text, again, is found in the first chapter of Mark, beginning at verse 14. And we'll read through verse 20 there. Now after that, John was put in prison. Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and say, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. That's what Jesus said. Now as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew his brother casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, Come ye after me, and I will make you to become the fishers of men. And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. They followed Jesus. And when he had gone a little further thence, he saw James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, who also were in the ship mending their nets. And straightway he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the ship with the hired servants and went after him. They went after Jesus too. I wanted to see three things that the gospel does here that I pray that God would bless us. The only reason this is going to make any impression on you or me is by the Holy Spirit. It's not academics. I'm not trying to maintain some sort of historical aspect of who Jesus Christ was. This is not a lesson in theology. It's a matter of life and death eternally. And that's what the gospel puts out there. First of all, I want us to understand that the gospel is to be repeated. It's to be repeated. We're to proclaim the gospel to everybody, everywhere, for as long as time shall be. In fact, the very fact that the gospel itself exists is a surety that this world continues, for the Bible tells us in the end times, when all the nations have received the gospel or heard the gospel, then the end comes. I think we're pretty close to that aspect now of the gospel being proclaimed all over the world. The gospel might be taken as a great commission, if you want to say that, where to go all nations teaching, baptizing, who Jesus is, what he did, what he's about. And so we understand that the gospel is to be preached to everybody, everywhere. Now everybody's not going to hear the gospel. They're not. That's no excuse for us not proclaiming the gospel. So it's to be repeated. And then secondly, because of what the gospel does and how it lays out, it calls for a response, and that response is repentance. Repentance. We don't talk about repentance much. I don't think it's necessarily because we don't think we don't need it, because I think everybody here knows we need it. But I do think having an aspect of the Calvinism kind of faith that I embrace, that I think we're kind of afraid of talk about repentance because it sounds like a work. And it is a work. It's a work of God. Because the goodness of God does lead us to repentance. Do not ever think that God is going to save you and just leave you alone and just flat around in the world and just decide if you want Jesus or not. God does not ask your permission to save you. You hear me? But you can guarantee you one thing. When Jesus died for your sins, you're going to know about it. And repentance is very, very heavy. Now, Jesus is saying, repent. And he's not telling, you don't repent and become saved. You repent because you are saved. I mean, I've said this before. When you're talking about salvation, it's not a matter of just, I think I'll just follow Jesus. No, you've got to have something in you to do that. You can't be just an empty sack floating around with the wind. You've got to have something in you, and that has to be the Holy Spirit, and God puts that in you. But he's not giving you his spirit just to use any way you want it. He's calling us to repent, and repentance is not just a one-time deal. Repentance is something that we need every day. We need to be repentant. This should be our mindset. So that's the second thing I want to say. Not only that the gospel needs to be repeated, it needs to be repent. We need to repent. And then also, and here's the hardest part about the gospel, is we're responsible. Did you know that? Now I have said before, and I believe, and I'll say again, we'd have nothing to do with our eternal salvation, not absolute anything. God has chosen you before the foundation of the world. He chose his sinners. He chose us, and he did it because he loves us. We're not any better than anybody else. Something God decided to do. But if we neglect the gospel, in other words, if you reject Jesus Christ, that's your responsibility. And what happens in that, you know what happens when you reject the gospel? You go to hell. You hear me? You hadn't heard that word much either, but I don't mean that's a curse word. It's not a curse word, it's a place. It's a place that Jesus talked about. We're going to look at that in a minute. It's a place where there's eternal separation from God. It's a real place. There's only two places you're going to go when you leave your body, your spirit. It's either you either go to heaven or you go to hell. And if you go to hell, nobody goes to hell except people that choose to go there. God does not send anybody to hell. He doesn't have to. That's where you choose to go. And that's what you're really doing if you reject the Lord Jesus Christ. Now here again, what settles us on this is that God gives you His Spirit. Now He saved you, He regenerates you, and He commands you to repent. And then He gives you the ability to repent. And that's the good news of the gospel. We need to always be thankful for the gospel. And it should weigh heavy. It needs to be repeated, though, in our lives. Notice in our scripture, it starts off with John the Baptist put in prison. You remember John the Baptist? He's a forerunner of Jesus Christ. He came out of the wilderness, you know. He came eating wild locusts and honey, and he came preparing the way for the Lord. What was he doing? He's preaching the gospel. I mean, you know, when you're just talking about the gospel, we call it the gospel age, but the gospel's been preached from all eternity. Moses preached the gospel. I mean, you remember when the children of Israel were disobeying God, they were moaning, complaining because he didn't have everything their way? God sent some scorpions. God does not like us to complain. You been doing any of that lately? I can get into that sometime too. So what happens in Moses then, people were dying because God sent these scorpions to kill them. See, God hates sin. God hates sin almost as much as he loves sinners. But he said, Moses, put this serpent, brazen serpent, up on a pole, and when they look on it, they'll be healed. That's the gospel. So you know the story, Numbers 21, you can see it. Jesus referred to it in John 3. But nevertheless, he says, when you look at it, but you know what they were looking at? They were looking at the very thing, that serpent, the very thing symbolized what had poisoned them, what brought the curse on them. Do you know that Jesus Christ became a curse for you and me? So what I'm doing when I hold this up, I'm holding up the gospel. I'm holding up a book that tells us that Jesus Christ became a curse for us. That he paid the price for our sins, all of it. I mean, that's good news. Now, is that going to make you just want to go ahead and do anything you want to? No, it's going to make us want to serve God. It's going to humble us. That's what the gospel does. But it needs to be repeated. And so John the Baptist is repeating it. He goes to prison for it. And when I say the gospel now, I'm talking about the truth of God. You know, I've heard people say, well, that's the gospel. Well, it should be. That's a good way to put it. It means the truth. That's what Jesus said. The truth will make you free. But sometimes the truth hurts. It does. This is the gospel we're talking about. You know, we're living in a world where pragmatism is kind of eluded in the churches, particularly around the gospel. Pragmatism means that well, let's use something that works. It has meaning and merit only if it works. Is the gospel working? I mean, what's happening? Churches are changing the gospel to make it pragmatic, you know, to make people like it. See, I've already said enough to you this morning to make my message this morning be termed a hate speech in some arenas. You start calling people sinners, people get offensive. But that's the gospel. You understand that? That's the gospel. See, if you don't know you're a sinner, you don't know you need a Savior. See, the gospel is not something that works as far as man's concerned. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, "The natural man receiveth not the things of God, neither can he know them, but they are spiritually discerned." Just because the majority of people do a certain way and live a certain way does not make it right. Jesus says, "Broad is the gate. Broad is the way, and wide is the gate that leadeth to destruction." Proverbs says, "There's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof leadeth to destruction." The devil, see, he's still around. Though he's been defeated on the cross, he still is trying to entice us, and he is deemed the angel of light. Don't ever forget that. He knows just how to tweak things in our lives and even in the scriptures to make us feel a certain way or do a certain thing. And the Antichrist, maybe we're dealing with him now in our world, but he's coming in even bigger fashion before God cleanses this world and creates a new heaven, a new earth. What I'm trying to say is the gospel can't be watered down. Jesus Christ can't be presented to say, well, you know, if you present Jesus as more likable, people accept him. You know, if we can do something to make people feel good about themselves, then they'll come to church. But that's not the gospel. Never has been. See, God saved Israel, the nation Israel. You know why he chose them? Not because they're so big, not because they knew so much, because they were the fewest. You know why God saved Israel? To make them different. You know why God saved you? To make you different. That's what holy means, by the way, separate. God makes us separate, makes us different. That's what His Holy Spirit does. That's why you have the Holy Spirit in your life. It's a great gift. It's the gospel. And we need to continually repeat the gospel. That is who Jesus is, not only historically, yes, by the Virgin Mary, incarnate God from heaven, but also what he's done for us. You know the man that had the lunatic that got Jesus, healed him, he said, "I'll go with you anywhere. I don't even go anywhere you want." Talking about Jesus, he's our Father. He said, "No, you go home and tell your friends what great things the Lord has done for you." I mean, that's what the gospel does. And so we need to just pass that on in our lives. And so Jesus is repeating it. Says John the Baptist is in prison. Now, don't ever think that just because you've been born again, that you're a Christian, everything's going to turn out just right. John the Baptist ended up being beheaded in a prison. He's in heaven right now, but that's what it had to take. The Apostle Paul died in a jail. Jesus said this in verse 15. He says, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand." He's talking about now, okay? What does he mean by that? He means that Jesus has came the first time. He came as the babe in Bethlehem. So right now is the kingdom of God. You're a part of the kingdom of God. It's at hand. I mean, it's near right now. It's not some illusionary place. It's not something. I mean, it's going on right now. I mean, the church, the local church even, I believe that what God is talking about in Ephesians 1 is that, or the book of Ephesians, that he's made us sit together. Ephesians 2 it is, that he's made us sit together in heavenly places. That's the kingdom of God. So it's here, it's now, and he's talking to God's people, and he says, repent ye. You do it. Repent. What does that mean? Repent means that sure, it means that you're sorry for sins and that you change and turn, but really, repentance is a change inwardly. It's a different mindset. It's a heart. I mean, that's why the repentance is referred to as bring fruit, meat for repentance, the spiritual aspects of it. And then he named several fruits of the Spirit. There's an evidence when true repentance takes place. Now, you can say you repent all you want about what's evident in what happens in your life. What is your attitude? Is there anybody in here that needs to repent today? I pray that you will, and I pray that God would bless you to do that. It might be some attitude. Is there somebody you haven't forgiven? You know, God does teach us in the sermon that he preached about the model prayer, Jesus did. He said, if we forgive not those that are trespasses, those our debtors, Lord, will not forgive us of our trespasses. That's in the Bible. So we got to be really, really careful. So what happens when we repent is we have a clear view of God and we see his beauty and holiness and we can worship him. Actually, I don't believe we can really worship till we repent. Maybe that's why lots of us have never really worshiped. When have you seen any repentance? When have you seen any tears shed in a worship service in a church? I mean, it's more like the world. I mean, you don't want anybody to think you're having any problems, are you? I mean, what we need to understand is we need to let the world party on. Because see, God's bringing all this to an end one time. Why do we need to repent? But because of God's judgment. I mean, why do I need to repent? What am I doing? Between you and God. I can just tell you one thing, that Jesus Christ said that we're all sinners. Look at John 3:18. Jesus said, not only repent, but you believe in him. Do you believe Jesus, in Jesus? Well, sure I do. Preacher, I'm in church. I believe in Jesus. How does that weigh up in your life? Here's a verse that has the whole Bible in miniature in it. Verse 18 of John chapter 3. Listen. He that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already. Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now, what I'm trying to tell you, the gospel says that Jesus Christ is the only way to God. People in this world will plank that as being, you're just being a bigot. Now, that's what God says. That's what Jesus says. Nobody comes to the Father but by me. That's what Jesus said. Now, there might be people patting their foot around trying to get to heaven in some other way, but they won't make it. You can call it narrow-minded if you will, but Jesus Christ calls it the only way to God. And so right here, this verse is, he that believeth on him is not condemned. Now that's the gospel. 1 John 5:1 says, he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God hath everlasting life. So you already got it, and that's why you believe. But if you don't believe, you don't have it. And unless God gives it to you, you won't get it. Does that make God not fair? No. We better be thankful God's not fair. What it makes God is just. See, what's the difference is when God's Holy Spirit, for the believer, see, we come to God and we're not asking for a trial. We don't want to go to court. Not with God. Now, you don't want to go to court with God. What you want to say is, I'm guilty. You want to say, just like we talked about Sunday night, you want to be like that publican who said, Lord, have mercy upon me, a sinner. And Jesus Christ said, that man went away justified. See, that's what repentance is. It's agreeing with God. And don't try to say, well, you know, I'm not bad as so-and-so. I don't think we really know how desperately evil our hearts are, nor how holy and amazingly perfect our Lord really is. I do know one thing. The more I study God's Word, I wonder why He even saved anybody in the first place. I wonder why He saved a sinner like me. I can tell you that for sure. But the only reason I know that I believe that He did save me is because I have the guilt of knowing my sins are real and that I repent of my sins and I feel His cleansing hand. Do you? Man, that's the gospel. You got to have the gospel. It needs to be repeated. Somebody told me this week their child was at a school or something and did something wrong, and the teacher said, well, you know, God's mercies are new every morning. We need to hear that all the time. I mean, that's the gospel. We need to quit trying to make excuses. I mean, see, you won't hear any good news on Fox News or CNN, either one, none of them. It's all politics. What we need as a country, what we need as a church, what we need as a family, what we need as an individual, we need to repent. We need to get on our knees and say, God, have mercy upon me, a sinner. I mean, one of the greatest prayers in the Bible is a repentant prayer in 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, it says, which are called by my name, not some alien people, not some other sect. If my people, God says, implying they haven't done that yet. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I see from heaven, heal their land. So this one verse, you know, but he that believeth not is condemned already. You already condemned yourself. See, a person who believeth not is going to take God to court. Say, Lord, I don't know if I really need you or not. I was reading a while back, Ted Turner believed, I think he got saved, it counts for 6 or 8 times. Had a problem believing in God. Your money, your notoriety won't do it. The gospel will. It's the only way. It's the only way with God. That's what weighs God. Do you believe Jesus? Now what I'm telling about in believing Jesus is, do you believe Him enough? And I'm not talking about just believe Jesus. I mean, the devils believe Jesus. They said they trembled. That there are people in the Old Testament, particularly, I was reading in the book of Amos, where God gave, and in fact in Revelations 2, one of the churches, God says, I gave them space to repent, and they didn't. We were reading in Revelation, somebody was talking the other night about God giving people time to repent. They didn't want to repent. See, that has to come from God. You thank God if you feel the guilt and the weight of sin in your life, you thank God that you feel that way. Because a lot of people don't. And they're condemned already. But I guarantee you this, do not let the devil try to convince you that you've already sinned too much or that you've gone too far or that you can't get off of this and that weather. Because I'm going to tell you what, the grace of God is greater than any of our sin. And what I'm telling you about the gospel is He makes you new. That's why the Apostle Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Romans 1:8, I'm not. Where it's the power of God unto salvation. But do not let this world of religion or anybody else take the offense out of the cross. Jesus died there for you and me. And you will not get the truth of the gospel just with pettiness and a fluffy-dovey, fuzzy God. God is holy. God hates sin. And Psalm 7 says he's angry with the wicked every day. I'll tell you what, if God wasn't a wrathful God, he wouldn't be perfect and holy that he is. Anyway, Jesus said, repent ye and believe the gospel. It has great weightiness, believing the gospel. Doesn't it? It does. I mean, it's a difference in heaven and hell. That's what it is. Then lastly, I want you to notice these disciples. Well, one of them was catching fish already. He just puts his net down and says, I'm gonna follow Jesus. Now, Jesus didn't say, well, you know what? If you come after me, I'm gonna give you this job and you're going to get paid this much. Here's some others, they're fixing the nets, and Jesus said, you just come. I mean, see, that's the irresistible call of the Holy Spirit. Has God called you to serve Him? I mean, the thing about the gospel is what? It's an obedience. I mean, these men said, look, here's a man that's different. You know why Jesus attracted so many people? Because he was different. He wasn't trying to be a sinner like everybody else. He did spend time with them, but he didn't partake of their sins. Sometimes I think the church, we try to want to say, well, you know, we got to be like the world. As far as I know, worldliness is still a sin. And I want you to know this. If you're going to be friends with God or friends with the world, you're going to be enemies with God. Now, which is it? See, there's only two. There's only two ways. You either believe God or you not. There's no way out there. There's no say, well, I think I'll pray about it or I'll think about it. No, Jesus says, if you're not with me, you're against me. Now, which is it to you this morning? These disciples came after him. They wanted him. You know what? That's the gospel. See, believing in Jesus is not just, again, the historical man. It is drinking the living water. It is eating the living bread. Are you thirsty? I mean, the Revelation calls us in the very last chapter, it says, lo, let all them that thirst come. Are you thirsty? Are you hungry? So then by believing, that's when we actually partake of this. It's just like eating your food or drinking water. And then we have that satisfaction of Jesus. Is Jesus enough in your life? He ought to be. Because that's the gospel. What he has done for us on the cross was take every sin away that we've ever committed, ever will commit, past, present, and future. What he's done for us on the cross is make us so that we are presented blameless before Almighty God in love. You might blame yourself for something. God's not blaming you, not through Christ. I mean, my friends, that's the gospel. You talking about motivation to serving? You talking about picking up the pieces of our life and saying, Lord, I want you to show me where to put this piece. That's the gospel. It's not a matter of just quitting and giving up and saying, well, you know, I wish I'd have thought this and that and the other. And you say, well, my life is about over and whatever. No, no. The gospel is hope and peace. Jesus Christ says, I came to preach the gospel to the poor. I came to loose those that are in prison. I came to be light for those that sit in darkness. That's the gospel. I suppose not believing the gospel in its entirety is not going to keep us out of heaven if God has saved you by His grace. But I guarantee you this, you won't enjoy it. You won't enjoy God's kingdom if you're not going to believe the gospel. And what that means is that you trust Him. Do you trust Jesus with everything today? Or is there something about it that you're not really sure of? Or these men just, they didn't say, well, I don't know how I'm going to make a living if I'm going to follow Jesus. They said, no, I'm going to follow Him. He said, come, I'm coming. That's how we need to follow Jesus. I mean, does His call mean much to you or not? I mean, do you think when He says repent, that just not for me? That must be somebody else. No, it's for you. And it's for me. Because He loves you. I mean, if somebody comes by my house and the bridge is out down the road and I just say, I know they're going to run out there and it's night and I don't get out there and stop them, then who am I? I'm telling you, friends, you won't make it through this life without Jesus. I mean, it's like a minefield. I mean, there's explosives and he's got to lead us through this stuff. But He does, because He's not only a Savior, He's a shepherd. He leads us and guides us. And just because you have to lie down in green pastures sometime and stay beside the still waters doesn't mean that God doesn't love you. And just because you go through the valley of the shadow of death, do not think that His rod and His staff are not going to be there. It is. And that's the gospel. You watch Him. He will prepare a table in the wilderness. That's what God does. He's good at it. He can make beauty out of ashes. He's like rivers of water in a dry place. He's like a shadow of a rock in a weary land. What I'm telling you, what I'm trying to say, I'm not doing so good maybe, is this, that God is everything. And Jesus says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. This lull in your life, these butterflies that just kind of creep up on you, this uneasiness. You know where that comes from, I believe. I believe it comes from us when we just do not submit everything to God. When you believe Jesus, who He is, what He's done, where He's called you to go, what He's prepared for you, that He'll never leave you nor forsake you. If you can't follow Him, then my friends, you need to take a second look at where your faith even is. No, you don't have to have some aluminum. You don't have to have some saint experience. You just do it day by day, one step at a time. That's all He asks. God does. Now, I had a dream last night. I don't dream much. I had a dream last night. I'm going to quit, too. Sometimes I feel like quitting preaching, to be honest with you. But I'm going to tell you what. I had this dream that I was preaching. And I was in this church. And I kept preaching. And people started leaving. I mean, I'd preached about 30 minutes over. I'm not going to do that today. I remember people started leaving. It was kind of hazy, like some people leaving. And this one guy stands up. I didn't visualize in my dream who he was. He says, you know, this is not making a bit of sense at all. To which I responded, you know, I think you're right. I think we just have a prayer and go. But in all seriousness, I think that the gospel, It does not make any sense in a lot of things. I mean, a lot of times that God's ways are so different than ours. Things that happen to you and to me, and I oftentimes don't make a lot of sense. I mean, how much sense does it make to have a man that has never sinned, Jesus only, get up on a cross and die for sinners, and then give his righteousness to them? Go figure. But that's the gospel. That's the gospel. You just well believe it, because it's the truth. It will comfort your heart. It'll also keep you from a lot of sin. It's weighty. Jesus didn't say repent just because he thought there was a lot of sinners. He says that again in Luke 13. There's some folks there had a tower fall on them. Siloam killed a bunch of people. So everybody said, well, what is it, Jesus? And I'll paraphrase this. Said, why did these people die? Are they sinners? You know, sometimes you see like a Hurricane Katrina. I remember when it came to New Orleans years ago. I heard the news people say, well, that place is so sinful. That's why it came. I mean, sometimes a calamity comes in. Oh, well, that's because these people are so sinful. You know what Jesus said? He tells these people when they said that, he said, look, except you repent, the same's coming to you. Now, I don't understand where these tracks meet on this repentance and our responsibility. I guarantee you, it's there. And God gives us the ability to do it by his goodness and grace. Let's don't despise Almighty God. It's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God. Let's have a prayer. Lord, we thank you for loving us in spite of our sinfulness. We thank you for your patience. And we thank you, Lord, for always being in a mood of mercy. We thank you, Lord, for this time you've given us to preach your word and listen to it and be among your people. We thank you for the hymns and for the grace of the goodness of God this cold winter day. We pray that you'd warm the hearts and the bodies of those that are suffering from the winter storm, even as we speak. But we thank you, Lord, that our hearts would not grow cold because of iniquity, as you've predicted that would happen. We thank you, Lord, for the gospel. Help us, Lord, to repeat it to ourselves, to our families, to our friends. Lord, wherever you send us, not only in words, but in actions, in our attitudes. Lord, thank you for repentance. We need it so much, and we take it for granted. Lord, help us not to be ashamed of the gospel just because it takes repentance with it. Lord, bless us now to take our responsibilities, to choose this day whom we shall serve. Thank you, Lord, that we have this opportunity to serve you. You've called us to do it, and you have something for us to do, or we wouldn't be here and feeling this way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.